Good morning, everybody. If I haven't had a chance to say hello to you, then a very warm welcome and a hello to you. Thank you for joining us this morning. It is a special day today because not only are we meeting for a normal gathering, following the service, Rodri is going to be baptized. So we're very excited about that, Rodri. We're so delighted that you're on this journey with us. And so I'm going to be sharing a slightly shorter word, and then we'll sing, and then we're going to explain to you a little bit about baptism, and then hear from Rodri about why he's going to be baptized today. Does that sound good to you? So let me just open up where we are going to be for our talk this morning. We are in a series as a church of delving into the Psalms. And we last week, Louise and I were not here. We were preaching in Machynlleth. So very warm welcome, a very warm hello from Machynlleth as well. They were very delighted to welcome us there. And so I had the opportunity to share the word with them. And they send their greetings and their love. While I was there, Chris was here talking about the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. If he'd have tried to read the whole psalm from start to finish, it probably would have taken up the entirety of his talk time. So he did a very wise thing, and he took a section of Psalm 119 and very helpfully and effectively talked about that. So as I was pondering, what should I think about today? What should I talk about today? I thought, well, should I continue with Psalm 119 because there's so much more of it? But then I realized we've got Rodri's baptism and we've got some other things to think about and have in the service, so probably won't be able to cover that much of Psalm 119. I thought, I know what, I'll find the shortest psalm. So here we are going to be looking at Psalm 117 as part of this series of looking at this wonderful set of poems and songs, prayers, human experiences that are collated in the Psalms. And whatever you're going through and whatever you're dealing with in your life today, there's probably something within the Psalms that can help you express some of what you're feeling or experiencing, something that can help you to look to God in the midst of it. But this book is beautifully collated together to enable and help the people of Israel initially and now us to worship the Lord. Taking some inspiration actually from Chris, just to hone in on where we are on the journey in the Psalms. So we're in book 5, Psalm 117 comes into this section, which is called the Hallel. We've looked at this word Hallel because it means praise. Hallelujah means praise the Lord, with Yah being short for Yahweh, which is the revealed name of God to the people of Israel. Yahweh. So the Hallel is the praise bit. And so these Psalms are an opportunity and an encouragement and a tool to help us as we praise the Lord. So God, help us as we delve into the Psalms and find wonderful things. Talking about finding, before we read the psalm together, which we will in a moment, I want to let you know about a meeting I went to on Tuesday, which was hosted at the Castle Rooms, but it was run by the Evangelical Alliance. So the Evangelical Alliance of Wales were hosting it and taking it around Wales, but the people from the Evangelical Alliance in the UK that had been part of and had been fundamental in creating and presenting this series called Finding Jesus, or this set of data which has come from some research that they've done. You may have heard of the Talking Jesus survey, which came out a year or two ago, which was given some really exciting and insightful knowledge about how God is already at work. And I want you to know, and I want you to be encouraged, God is stirring people's hearts. I would say in a way that I haven't seen before in my, as being a Christian in the UK, people are searching for God and are open to God and to hearing about Jesus in a way that probably I haven't seen for a generation, in many years. And this Finding Jesus survey has identified a vast number of people who have come to Jesus in recent times, and it was exploring and unpacking and trying to understand what it was, what's been helpful, and how people have come to Jesus. Because there has been a significant increase in those who are attending church and who are turning to Jesus. And so this survey, I'd recommend you can go and look and find out for yourself all the details and all the information there on the Finding Jesus, if you search for Finding Jesus EA. Evangelical means good news. It means gospel. That's what the word evangelical means. And so when we identify ourselves under that banner, which sometimes can get some misunderstanding and some bad association, but when we align ourselves under that banner, we're saying we believe that the Bible is the word of God and the truth revealed to us, and it's good news. And often it doesn't seem that people want to acknowledge that it's good news, but it is. It's very good news. A couple of things I just wanted to, because it is relevant to what we're talking about, to say from the research is this. They discovered that 43% of 18 to 25s who've come to their churches say that a close friend helped them on their journey. The importance of just being alongside people and journeying with them and being faithful in your friendship and presenting God to people in that way. But on the other side there, you'll see, and for the mathematicians who are currently panicking because the percentages add up to over 100%, people were allowed to tick more than one box on this. But they were asked about what had helped them in their exploration of the Christian faith. 59% of people said that attending church in person was a key part of their journey in finding Jesus. But the one I want to highlight and hone in on today is this one. 47% of those that had come to Jesus said that reading the Bible was a vital and important part of their journey. And the thing I think that we need to realize, rediscover, and understand is that the Bible is powerful. It's God's word revealed to us to help us understand who he is, to help us understand who we are, to know the end from the beginning, and to know how he has been at work, is at work, and will be at work through humanity. The Bible is powerful, and the sales in the Bible in the last 5 years have gone up astronomically. It was already the best-selling book, but it's gone up astronomically. People are searching, and we have had testimonies, and I think that we might hear a little bit of this from Rodri, but we've had testimonies in our church in the last couple of years of people who have come to the church because they have been interested, they've been searching for God, they've read some pages of the Bible, and God is revealing the truth to them. The Bible is powerful, folks. It's the truth of God's word so that we can know who he is. And we need to be confident in the Bible. We need to be confident to share the truth of God's word with people and help them to understand that this is one way that God will communicate to us. So having said that, let's turn to this very short psalm. The whole psalm is on the screen. And let's read this out together if you're able to and want to. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Amen, Lord. Help us to understand and apply your word to our lives in a way that makes a difference, we pray. Amen. Referring back again to last week, Chris had you do an exercise which meant that you had to clap every time certain words were said. But one of the words which was associated with nearly all of those words was the word meditate. And I know he mentioned it and he started to talk about it a little bit. But he said that, and we have to acknowledge that in the world that we live in, the word meditation is often considered in terms of emptying our minds. But when we're talking in the context of Scripture, in the context of Christian faith about meditation, what we're talking about is filling our mind with what is healthy. Because it's one thing to empty your mind of the things that are unhealthy, but if you don't fill it with what is healthy and what is good after that, then you find that the space is still there. And so when we talk about this, and in Psalm 119, the psalmist writes, writes, I will meditate on your precepts. It says, I will meditate on your statutes. I will meditate on your decrees. I will meditate on your law. I will meditate on your deeds. And all of those things are an expression of the word, the written word of God and his truth revealed to us. And we do well to learn and to understand what this might mean for us. So, looking at the Hebrew for the word that's used in all of those instances through Psalm 119 for meditate, it's this word, siach. And it means to ponder, to converse with, or even to converse with oneself, and hence aloud. Or transitively, to utter, to commune, to even to complain, to declare, to meditate, to muse, to pray, to speak, to talk with. And I want to just say that speaking the word of God, uttering it and muttering it, and even talking to yourself about it, even having a conversation with yourself about something that is in the word of the God, of the Lord, is a healthy thing to do, and I encourage you to do it. But when we meditate on the word of God, it's like we're having a conversation with it. We're like trying to get to grips with it. We're chewing the cud, would be a phrase that we'd use in the UK. We're trying to get everything out of it that we can. Just as we look at Psalm 117 today, which seems to be such a short psalm, and therefore how can we spend much time thinking about or meditating on this because it's so short, there's hardly anything to it. Well, actually, I think that we can do it even with Psalm 117. But when we are meditating on the Word of God, when we are seeking to spend time with it and dwell on it, I think of it sometimes a little bit like a tea bag in a cup. We have to let it brew. We have to let it, I mean, some of the people in here, I'm sure, are tea bag squeezers. As soon as the bag's in, it's getting squeezed. But the best cup of tea is the cup of tea that has been left to brew for a minute or two before. Then you can squeeze everything you like out of it. But the best cup of tea is always the one that's been left to brew. And I believe that the Word of God is we're meant to brew upon it. We're meant to ruminate and dwell in it and let it dwell in us. So when we come to the Word of God, when we spend time in Scripture, don't be treating it like it's a textbook. Don't be treating it like it's a storybook. Treat it like it's the Word of God that's going to bring you life and bring flavor, and it's going to be fantastic for you and for the people around you as it overflows out of you. The Word of God is powerful. Amen. Does anybody agree with me this morning? So when we turn to the Word of God, when we meditate on it, these are just some things that I find helpful. Ask the Lord to be present with you as you open the words of the book. Ask him to be there. Ask him to speak with you. Ask him to commune with you. Don't treat it like it's just another book. Something that the Lord can use to speak to you and reveal things to you. Give each word the time that it deserves, and we'll look at more at that in just a moment. Really fantastic that we have the opportunity more than ever with the internet now to consider and to research and to look into what the writer originally meant. Well, who was this writer of this psalm or this letter or this account of what had happened in history? Who were they writing to? Why were they writing to them? What was the context? What was the culture of the day? Consider those things. And then, perhaps most importantly, consider, what does this mean to me now? What does this mean for me? How can this shape my life? How can I get the most out of this word? So, as we look at Psalm 117, let's just briefly do a little bit of that ourselves. See, we can easily skip over a few words that we're very familiar with. And as we read the Bible, sometimes a word might jump out at us, but we can skip over some of the other ones. But what I sometimes like to do when I'm just sitting with a passage of Scripture is to take each word one at a time and unpack it and allow myself to, like, do a mental thesaurus exercise with that word. So we look at this word praise and we automatically assume, well, I know what this means. But do we really unpack what that means? Well, what does it mean to praise? It means to say how good something is, to express, to exalt, to lift up, to shout about the goodness of something. That's what it means to praise. And so we can just spend time with the word of God and look at this word praise and say, God, what does this word mean? How can I get the most out of this word? Because every word of scripture, and I obviously understand the Bibles that most of us are carrying around and reading, have been translated from the Hebrew and the Greek. So I know when I say every word of scripture, obviously in a kind of ideal scenario, I'm talking about the original written words in the Hebrew and the Greek. But I still believe that in our translated Bibles, every single word that these people have sought to help us understand what the Hebrew and the Greek meant, every single word is still powerful. And so see the word praise, spend time in it, ruminate on it, let it brew, let the word praise brew inside of you like a tea bag. And try and get the best out of it. And then even the next word, the. Now you meet, well, how can I spend time meditating on the word the? Well, what is it trying to say in this context? Actually, in the original Hebrew, it would have just said Yahweh. And in our Bibles, we've translated that as the Lord. But the, what does, well, it means the Lord. To the exclusion of others. So you can spend time, like, what does the mean in this context? Pray. So we see already, we spent all that time just on two words. I just encourage you in your own times with God and with the scriptures. And then Lord. Well, there's so much we can, but we just skip over it. But there's so much we can, master, king, ruler, governor, the one who is in authority, the one who made it all. And then if we go deeper and we understand what the original writers, when they wrote Yahweh, what they meant the revealed name of the Lord, as he said, the I am, the one who existed, who always existed, who does exist, who will always exist. The Lord is, you know, you see what I'm saying? We can skip over, we can say, praise the Lord. And we do, and that's fantastic. Sentiment, but as we spend time meditating on the word of God, having a conversation with ourselves about it, ruminating, chewing the cud, we can pull out and draw out so much strength and depth from every single word. Just one other word. You might come across a word then when you're meditating on scripture and you think, well, I'm not 100% familiar. I don't know exactly what that word means. Well, I encourage you, spend time meditate on it, asking God to reveal things to you, but also going and doing some research. I've said this before, but, you know, I'm often putting words like this up, which is the Hebrew word here in the psalm for extol. It means to address in a loud tone, specifically loud, or figuratively to pacify as if by words, which is interesting. To commend, to glory, to keep in, to praise, to still, and to triumph. That's what the writer who wrote the word that's been translated as extol is trying to equip us and enable us and encourage us to do, the Shabbat. But yeah, when a word, what I was going to say is that the Apostle Paul would marvel at the fact that you and I, in order to find this kind of information out, one, maybe two generations ago, you'd have to go to a scholar. You'd have to find somebody who understood Hebrew, who really knew the original texts. You'd have to or buy a really expensive book that sits on the bookshelf and is too heavy to lift up and get out. But you'd have to do heavy research. We live in mightily privileged time. I found that out by typing it into Google. Well, what I actually did was did Interlinear Bible, and I know BibleHub.com does a fantastic Interlinear Bible where you can look at the English and the original text, and then you click on a link and it will take you to the word that's derived from it. So this is not me being a scholar. This is me living within the privilege of the world that we live in, where we can dig into the word of God in a way that generations before us haven't. How much do we take it for granted, folks? We can dig in and find out and draw out all of the strength of that tea bag as we seek to explore these things. So the second verse of Psalm 117, I said we're going to be quite quick this morning. It's a short psalm, but there is so much more. And what my prayer would be is that you'd go away from this and spend some time in Psalm 117 this week and meditate upon it and see how long you can actually spend in these two short verses. Psalmist goes on to say, great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. And this word faithfulness is a really helpful example for us of what it means to do a little bit of research, because we might think we know what faithfulness means. Well, it means sticking together, or, you know, being consistently good. Maybe you have another way of explaining what we think we know by faithfulness. And we look at the Hebrew, ehmeth. It actually comes from stability and establishment, faithful, right, sure, true, verity. And if you look at BibleHub.com, instead of the word faithfulness, they actually translate that as the truth. The truth of the Lord endures forever. And you and I think maybe truth and faithfulness are two very different words, but within that context, they're pulled together and they're drawn together, and it talks about the faithfulness of the Lord. It talks about the truth of the Lord enduring forever. And we know that we refer to this as the truth of God's word that's been revealed to us, which is established and which lasts forever. But we also know that the truth of God has been revealed to us in a person, the person of Jesus Christ. He has personified and been the very nature of the truth of God revealed to us, which brings us to this opportunity, which we keep needing to do as we journey through the Psalms and any of Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, we read it through the lens of Jesus. So as we look at this passage through the lens of Jesus, we see this faithfulness and this truth that's expressed in this word. It makes me think of Jesus' expression in John 14, where he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. And from now on, you do know him and have seen him. He is telling us that he has taken on the nature of humanity, but revealed the Father to us. Yahweh in human flesh. Jesus is the perfect personification and revelation of the truth of this faith, this whatever this word faithfulness means. Jesus is the perfect personification and expression and revelation of that to you and to me. And so as we read Psalm 117 this week, as we meditate on it, or any of Scripture that we meditate on, where is Jesus in this? What is this telling me about the nature and the heart of Jesus? So as we look, as we come to a close of this section of the service, as we look at Psalm 117 through the Christ-shaped lenses, we can see that from what it says at the beginning, praise the Lord, all you nations, extol him, all you peoples, that Jesus is to be praised in every country on earth. I know we touched on that a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the nations. But all of the nations of the earth, remember the Psalms were written by and for the people of Israel. And yet within this, it says what would have been a far off dream for them, that all the nations. But now we live in a world where Jesus is praised across the nations, across the world. Every people group should, this was another word for extol, which I meant to mention earlier, wax lyrical. That's what, when I read what extol meant, it was like wax lyrical about, like go on about, find every word you can to express the goodness, and every people group should be able to wax lyrical about Jesus. We see that his perfect love is displayed in service and sacrifice. And furthermore, that Jesus has shown us God's faithful nature and invited us through Jesus Christ to know that nature and to live in it, in his truth and in his faithfulness forever. And therefore, we can join in with the sentiment and the heart of this section of the Psalms, which are the Hallel Psalms, the praise Psalms. And we can say, as we read Psalm 117 through the lens of Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's say it together. Hallelujah.